Herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Episode der Evolution Radio Show. What gets measured, gets managed. Dieser Spruch war für meinen heutigen Gast wegbereitend. Michel Lundell ist IT-Spezialist, lebt in Schweden und erkrankte als Erwachsener an Epilepsie. Nach der initialen Diagnose nahm Michel erst Medikamente, doch nachdem sein Arzt die Dosis weiter erhöhen wollte, diese Medikamente aber mit schweren Nebenwirkungen verbunden sind, schlug Michel dem Arzt vor, ob er nicht eine ketogene Ernährung versuchen könnte. Seit 2012 ernährt sich Michel ketogen und ist anfallsfrei. Da er sich nicht jeden Tag in den Finger stechen wollte, um die Ketonwerte zu messen, entwickelt er das erste Gerät, um den Ketonkörper Aceton in der Atemluft zu messen. Der Ketonix, so heißt das Gerät, ist mittlerweile gut erprobt und als sogenanntes Non-Invasive Class 1 Medical Device registriert in den USA über die FDA und in Schweden über das Läkemedelsverket. Wir sprechen in diesem Interview über seine Geschichte und seine Erfahrungen mit der ketogenen Diät und wie er das Gerät, den Ketonix, entwickelt hat und vor allem, wie man ihn auch interpretiert. Das Interview ist auf Englisch, er macht aber auch eine Kurzpräsentation, wo er seine Daten, seine Erfahrungen und die Interpretation der Messwerte erklärt. Das heißt, man kann dem Interview auch so sehr gut folgen. Viel Spaß bei dem Interview mit Michel Lundell.
Alles, was du über Keto, Low Carb und Paleo wissen musst. Evolution Radio Show, dein Programm für evolutionäre Gesundheit, präsentiert von Julia Tulipan.
Michel, welcome to the podcast, to the Evolution Radio Show. Thank you for being here and sharing your insights with us.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted.
Before we start and talk about the device, the Ketonix, and how breath ketones work, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what got you interested in the ketogenic diet?
Okay. So my name is Michel Lundell. I come from the Swedish west coast, just below Gothenburg. I was an IT architect or IT security penetration tester. I'm a mechanical engineer. I am a certified kitesurfing instructor and certified keto paleo nutritionist. So I got quite a few cards in my sleeve. So about 2006, I got a seizure, a grand mal seizure, and they detected a tumor in my brain, or what they thought was a tumor, and it took about 1 year before they said it's just a UBO. It's not a tumor. It's something else. It's some kind of damage very close to a center that controls seizures. So after this year, I was cleared, and then 8 years later, I got another seizure, and then I had epilepsy, and I got drugs for this epilepsy. But it changed my personal behavior, my personality. So I had to find something else than the medication, very strong medication. And it's a nightmare to have. So I made my research and found the ketogenic diet was working for people with epilepsy. And I wanted to try this. So I spoke with my nutritional neurologist and said, I want to quit the medication and try the diet. So he challenged me to be in ketosis. And I didn't know really what it was. So I tried urine sticks and blood measures and I got into ketosis. It was very messy. When he said it's okay, we can change the medication to diet, I thought I must find a lifestyle that can keep me in ketosis. And to do that, I have to measure a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why I started to research how can I measure that I am in ketosis often. And that's how I got into breath analysis.
Mm-hmm. Has there anything been out there when you started your research about breath analysis?
There were some research papers that were indicating that acetone is a good indication of ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
But there were no devices available.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I made one for myself. Then I came in contact with a doctor called, which name is Andreas Ehrenfeld. He's known as the dietdoctor.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that, well, this is a great device, not only for people with epilepsy, but also with people with diabetes, cancer, and all these other illnesses that have a metabolic source.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually him who said that, do something about this, make a product or something to help other people.
Yeah.
So in 2013, I just put it out on the web, the first version, which was very simple, just 4 LEDs, nothing else. And it was a huge demand just first summer. So I had to quit my job just doing this now.
Mm-hmm. Was it very difficult to find a way to measure the breath ketones? Since there was nothing out there, did you have anything to build on? Or I can imagine that it's very difficult to make such a prototype. What was your initial basis for the device?
Well, I had a lot of data and experience with both urine strips and blood tests. So what I did was that I know how to get myself in and out of ketosis in different ways. So I did that a lot, and trying to correlate the sensor to the urine strips and to the blood measures. So that's where I started. That's the ballpark I started. And then five, 6 years later, I got machines that I can actually measure the acetone more accurately than I could at that time. But it's really not so interesting the actual number you get. The most interesting part with measuring ketosis is to see the trend.
Mm-hmm. My question is, I can't imagine that it's quite difficult to just make such a product. I think it's how did you find someone? You can't just build it yourself. So how did you find someone? Was it difficult to find someone helping you building this first product, this first prototype? Or
no, I made it all by myself.
Really?
Yeah. So I designed the electrical circuits. I designed the actual look of it. I designed the software within it. The software on the PC, on the phones, on the on the web server. I designed the case. I designed, well, everything mm-hmm. from the cables to the sensor to the diagrams you can see now.
Wow.
So, firstly, I did it for myself. Mm-hmm. So I hired somebody to do it. So I had to do it by myself.
Yeah.
I am an engineer. So my motto is like, how hard can it be?
Okay.
I always try myself before I give up. And well, I'm a mechanical engineer, so I had to read a lot of,
yeah,
get the electrical and the sensor thing to work. But once I had that going, it was no issues, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took me like 10 hours to make one device in okay. the beginning, because I had to print the circuit boards and yeah. drill them myself and then solder it and test it. And it took a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot in the process.
Yeah. But could one say that it works a little bit like an alcohol breath test?
In a way, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. You had prepared a presentation. I think we changed to the presentation, and you're sharing your screen with us and telling us a little bit more about breath ketones, how they work, or how the ketonics works, and how one would use it to in everyday life, and how to interpret the results.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Can you see the screen?
Yeah.
Okay, just make a full screen of this.
Okay.
So I have epilepsy and I had it for life. So I know I had to be in ketosis to lower the risk of having seizures. I don't want to get in having a seizure while driving on the autobahn with my family or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I really needed a lifestyle and control my ketosis. And to know how ketosis works for me, I had to measure often. That's why, as I said, I invented this. It's not only me that the doctor told me that needs ketosis. I mean, ketosis is good for a lot of reasons. And these reasons is tied to the effects of this diet. If you, for example, if you get into ketosis, you have a low blood sugar. And that is the reasons why maybe diabetes and cancer patients wants to be in ketosis, because diabetes, they burn off the fat from the liver mm-hmm. and they get a lower blood sugar, which means they need less insulin. And cancer, they starve the cancer cells. And for those who want fat burning, they want to have been high ketosis all the time. It's to get rid of the insulin resistance by using the fat in the liver. And of course, these who do sports, they want to be lean, to weigh less and have more muscle compared to the total mass. They get faster and stronger. And weight loss people, they also want fat burning. People who want ketones, that's more brain issues. I mean, it's like epilepsy, Parkinson, mm-hmm. mind performance, ADHD, narcolepsy, Alzheimer. All these are after the ketones. We need ketones for our brains to keep it calm, to keep us focused, to have a high performance when we're using the brain. Then it's the hormones. There's hospitals and I know clinics in the U.S. that does the ketogenic diet for women to want to become pregnant. So there is a lot of reasons and there's a lot and effects that is important to know when it gets into this ketogenic diet and measuring ketones. So I just want to go through this ketogenesis, what's happening, because that is how I found out to make my device. And if I look up ketogenesis on the net, I will see that is when fatty acids is metabolized in the liver to the primary ketone acetoacetate. So fatty acids gets metabolized in the liver to acetoacetate. And this acetoacetate is a building block for ATP, which is energy. So that's fine. From the acetoacetate created when you burn fat, acetone is released. When this is happening, you're using fatty acids to create ketones and energy, you will get acetone.
Mm-hmm.
This acetone mainly get out of your body by the breath. A very small part is metabolized in the liver. But the main part is going out through your breath. So it's like a waste from this process.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. The excess acetoacetate that is created is stored as beta hydroxybutyrate in the blood. So why is it stored in the blood? Yes, because it can be reconverted back into acetoacetate and generate energy for your brain or for your heart or muscle. So the picture will actually look like this. This is the ketogenesis process, really.
Mm-hmm.
Fatty acids create acetoacetate in the liver, which can be used for energy. From the acetoacetate, acetone is released and released out of your body by the breath. Any excess acetoacetate that is not used will be buffered in the blood to be used as easy, accessible energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how do we get fatty acids into the liver? Well, if we have a low blood sugar and low insulin, that will trigger glucagon to be released, which signals to the fatty adipose tissue to release fatty acids, which is converted into acetoacetate. This is what many people want, because that means that your adipose fat is burned into energy. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get this low blood sugar and low insulin? Well, we could exercise. That is one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That will burn energy. That will burn sugar in your muscles, sugar in your glycogen storage. And we can also eat a low-carb food, because that doesn't raise insulin, and it has very little, if any, glucose. So low-carb food is also one way to get low blood sugar and low insulin. However, a very important thing is...
Weißt du, wie du nach einer Mahlzeit länger satt bleiben kannst? Eigentlich einfach. Gesunde, natürliche Zutaten mit reichlich Ballaststoffen und wenig Zucker. Doch was macht man, wenn es in der Früh schnell gehen soll? Probier doch mal mein neues Low-Carb-Knusper-Nussmüsli. Niacin-Genuss-Explosion wird ganz ohne Getreide- und Zuckerzusatz hergestellt. Es ist eine Proteinquelle und versorgt dich nachhaltig mit Energie bei weniger als 5 Gramm verwertbaren Kohlenhydraten pro Portion. Mit ballaststoffreicher Kokosnuss, Erdmandel und Eiweiß aus Freilandhaltung sowie heimischen Nüssen und Saaten ist alles für den perfekten Start in den Tag mit dabei. Also schau auf Amazon oder lowcarbmüsli.at und probiere die gesunde Alternative.
To get low blood sugar and low insulin. However, a very important thing is that low carb food is also fatty. So that will also release fatty acid into your bloodstream. So even if you eat this, then the body will probably switch from the body fat stores into the food you just eaten to create acetoacetate. Mm-hmm. Now, there is another way to get ketones. That is to eat medium chain triglycerides, like coconut oil, coconut cream. I tried that is also a potent way. So there is, and that is actually going more straight to the liver and create acetoacetate and acetone beta-hydroxybutyrate very quickly. So this is the process I was looking at, mm-hmm. and measuring beta-hydroxybutyrate. I've done that, and I've been looking for acetoacetate in my urine, and breath acetone. There were no device.
Yeah.
But as I saw it, if I can get hold of a sensor that can sense acetone, and I can blow into this, I will immediately see when fatty acid is broken down into ketones in my body. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the different methods is that to measure ketones is urine, blood, and breath. And urine is, that is excess ketones in the keto adaptation phase. Body is not used to the ketones and is not as good to convert them into the beta-hydroxybutyrate in the blood. So it spills over into the urine. After the keto adaptation phase, I and many others have seen that the blood ketones are the preferred way to use, to store extra ketones. Breath, that is a more real-time indication of breakdown of fatty acids into ketones. Mm-hmm. So if I eat something, I can detect that within 15 minutes, what's happening. If I have zero blood ketones and eat something, I might not detect it until I've been eating this for a long time or something, because it's depends on if you use the energy or not. But blood is very complicated to actually even look at. It's as I see, blood ketones is only relevant to check if you are type 1 diabetic. Mm-hmm. Use it for weight loss or anything else. It's a waste of money. So what is the correlation between blood and breath ketones? Mm-hmm. Well, your level of blood ketones depends on how much excess ketone energy that is produced, how much of that you have used, and how well you can use it. There is intelligent people like Marty Kendall that runs optimizednutrition.com mm-hmm. that have looked at this and according to his research, high blood ketones is not what you want.
Yeah.
You want blood ketones in the range of 0 to 1 or something, like 0.5, because then you actually can use your blood ketones. If you cannot use your blood ketones, you got an issue, and that is worse. So blood ketones, it's a buffer. It can be anything from 0 to 3, 4, 5 at any time, and it's just a trace. It's actually not better than looking at urine strips.
Mm-hmm.
Your level of breath ketones, that depends on how much your body breaks down fatty acids into ketones as acetoacetate. So if you take this together, I would say the correlation is that the higher breath ketone level you have, the higher level of blood ketones could be formed unless you use them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have issues using them, you might always have high blood ketones. Maybe you are almost type 1 diabetic, or you have a very high level of blood sugar. That means that it inhibits the formation of NADH, which it makes the ratio of NAD plus to NADH unfavorable for using the blood ketones. So low blood ketones and high breath ketones, that will ensure that you are healthy and are using fat as fuel as efficient as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you interpret blood samples, you could say that low, zero or low value means that you are out of stock regarding blood ketones.
Mm-hmm.
You could still be in ketosis, or you may be out of ketosis because you have used the blood ketones. So a significant value, if you have a value, you have some blood ketones, and that means you are or have been in ketosis, or you have could also have had some exogenous ketones.
Yeah.
And the difference to breath sample is zero or low value means that you are low in ketosis. You're out of or low in ketosis. A value means that you are in ketosis and your blood sugar and insulin levels are low enough to trigger ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better measure of ketosis than blood ketones, because acetone doesn't exist if you don't use fat as fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we go to testing, this is interesting because you can test food, you can test no food, you can test fasting, and you can test different types of exercise. So if you test food, then you might need some understanding of how your body metabolizes food. It's different foods do different things to your body, and you see the reaction and you have to think about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So testing exercise, that's almost the same. You need to understand how the muscle cells metabolize different fuels. If you're using fat as fuel when you're doing your exercise, or if you're actually using the sugar in your glycogen stores as fuel, that is different. And different exercise use different portions of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I will make some examples here. But generally, you should measure after an exercise to be at least one after the training, because most exercise will actually create a response from your body to create glucose. That will inhibit any ketosis. So the best way, I would say, to test ketosis is to adopt something I call a baseline approach.
Mm-hmm.
I will show an example of this. So here is a test I did on MCT. It is coconut cream that I got at the low carb in Deutschland in 2018. And I measured first, I had a baseline here, the first three measures. Then I ate 10 grams of this coconut cream, and I could see a high response in my ketones. So these four measures after there, they are within 20 minutes. I could say a huge raise in my ketones.
It was a breath.
Yes, this is breath.
Yeah.
Then I see that the ketone levels were below my starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And they were that for an hour or two before they got up into the same level of ketosis that was before I tested this food.
Okay.
That means that during this time, my ketosis was decreasing because of the high generation of ketones from this MCT oil.
Mm-hmm.
So between T1 and T2, I was sort of out of ketosis and running on the ketones that was created between T0 and T1. Yeah. That's how you could interpret testing of a ketogenic food, for example. So you see how much time the ketones created in the first place are lasting you. The second example I have is also about ketones. It's exogenous ketones that I tested 2 years back in Vail, I think it was. And as you see here, I don't get a response in the beginning. I don't get a high breath ketone value from drinking exogenous ketones. And that is because it doesn't run the process backwards. Drinking the end product of ketogenesis doesn't increase fat burning.
Yeah.
It actually just adds the end product to your system. So what's happening is that rapidly after I drank this exogenous ketones, my ketosis dropped like a stone for 6 hours. And this was not a huge, it was only a small glass of exogenous ketones. I think it was Pruvit.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept me out of ketosis for 6 hours. So people thinking that if I drink ketones, exogenous ketones, I get into ketosis, I would say no.
Yeah.
That is not what's happening. If your definition of ketosis is blood ketones, yes, you will have a high level of blood ketones, but that doesn't mean that your body is using fat as fuel. It just means that your level of blood ketones have risen.
Mm-hmm.
I even saw today that there was an article on the net about a fasting mimicking diet. They would eat something, but it would be so little that they actually mimicked fasting. And the funny thing is that diet included exogenous ketones. And I mean, it's crazy. Why do you, if you want the fasting benefits, why do you add this energy into your system?
Mm-hmm.
I think the use of exogenous ketones is for athletes that need to do really sprinting or heavy lifting or stuff like that. It's not for normal people that want to have endurance, have the health benefits from ketones. That is not the way to do it. There might be some neurological diseases that actually help you get through maybe seizures, maybe other issues.
Mm-hmm.
But for normal healthy people, I think this exogenous ketones is it's not for normal people.
I would totally agree on that. Yeah, but just to summarize what we see in the slide, in the actual this slide now, is the moment you ate those exogenous ketones, acetoacetate decreased because there were no fat burning happening. There were using ketones for energy. From
the energy came from the blood ketones.
The energy came from the exogenous ketones. Yeah, and that's why your breath ketones decreased, because there was no need to break down acetoacetate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, a better way, if you don't think about what's happening, I mean, this you have to understand the process and stuff like that. A better way to actually assess your ketones,
mm-hmm,
is to make a baseline. You measure yourself during a week.
Okay.
The same time every day, in the mornings, lunch, and evening, or something like that. And then you do a change. So the next week you do for example, you're doing maybe you go running,
mm-hmm,
or you could do strength training, or you skip a meal, or you change your meal plan, or you do something else, and you measure yourself morning, lunch, and evening, and then you can look at the diagrams and you can see, well, the trend is that it's much higher ketosis when I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if you do something that doesn't fit you, that maybe you are allergic to dairy products, mm-hmm, or something else, or eggs, or I don't know, then the trend might not be positive. Maybe it's negative.
Okay.
Then you know this lifestyle change is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So if you make a lifestyle change, you should measure yourself, and then you can see, well, this lifestyle change actually makes me burn more fat,
mm-hmm,
or have more ketones.
Yeah.
Well, when I stopped cream in my coffee, I raised my average about 10 ppm every day. So it was a real change. I could see that milk protein is probably not very good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Triggers insulin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So then one could try, for example, the boring thing to exclude any wine or alcohol during the weeks. That will also increase the ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
So a better way to look at this is to see the trend, not the actual value.
Yeah, okay.
Because the ketosis is varying a lot during the day.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, it's probably the lowest measure you have during the day. But because of your technique, you cannot compare it to somebody else. So you have to make your own baseline.
Mm-hmm.
This is how my body works.
Yeah.
And then compare that to the next week to see, does this change make it better for my life?
Okay. Yeah, is there also a difference between people who are eating a ketogenic diet already for a long time and between people who are just starting? So do they have higher, a little bit like in the urine, is there a difference? So is there a change when you're at a more adapted to a ketogenic diet and that your levels would decrease, or is it stable?
What we have seen and in our large database we have now is that a common pattern is that when you start out the diet, you actually get quite high levels of ketones because your muscles isn't used to using fat as fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So they crave the blood, they crave glucose, and when glucose is not available, body produces ketones. So in the beginning, for many people, the ketone levels are very high, and then after a few weeks, it will decrease, and that's when the challenge starts. How can you keep this ketone levels up?
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the fun starts, to find your lifestyle that works for you.
Yeah.
So if we look at what levels should you have, that is a very common question I get. What number should I get?
Yeah.
And there is no magic number. It's more like the higher number you have, the more healthier maybe you eat. We eat a higher ketogenic ratio of foods, mm-hmm. or you're doing fasting, or you exercise. All this together will actually raise your ketone level. So I would say that aim for anything in the green area, I mean 10 to 30, or maybe even to the yellow area in our app,
mm-hmm.
Which is up to maybe 80 something. But it's not uncommon that people get even up to 200 sometimes if they're doing fasting, if they're doing exercise in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You can get very, very high values.
Okay.
That is why I recommend to make a baseline week, because you're probably exercising the same day every week, and you do same stuff every week sort of. So if you measure yourself every day at the same times, you will actually see your how your values will change during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So after exercise, I could get really, really, really high values.
Okay. Interesting.
And I did, 2 weeks ago, I did a 1 week water fast.
Yeah.
It's also, that is with a water fast with exercise.
Okay.
So I did strength training and on just water and salt, really. And that got very, very high levels of breath acetone. Now, this week, I started doing it with just enough protein that my body should have. Mm-hmm. I should have sort of like 90 grams of protein every day.
Yeah.
So I created, I did this with whey protein.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed the first, second, and third day that the levels were not at all as high as in the water only fasting.
Okay.
This morning I felt really sick.
Mm-hmm.
it could be that I am sick, but after I took my whey protein shake, I felt really, really sick. Oh. I almost vomited. So I think for me, milk protein is not good. Mm-hmm. I think I react to milk protein. And that is what I discovered. If I drink coffee with cream in it, my ketosis will rapidly decrease.
Okay. Yeah.
For many, it doesn't decrease to do anything. It just keeps on going or even increase after a fatty coffee. But for me, it decreases. So I suspect that for me, milk protein will release, will generate some insulin in my body. So, testing is the key. You're not the same, and everybody is different. So,
yeah, everyone is different.
And with this device, you can test as many times as you like.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, I have to say, it's really kind of a quantum leap, one should say, between the one I tested 2 or 3 years ago and the one, the new one, the Bluetooth one with the new app and everything. It's very, very easy to use, and it takes initially about 10 minutes until it's ready, but you could just leave it on. Is there a problem? Can I just let it on the whole time, or do I have to start it or restart it?
No, you can leave it on. You can leave this on. It's the more it's on, the faster it will get into to initializing.
Okay.
It might take like less than a minute, because I use it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put it on in the morning when I wake up, and then I make my coffee, and then I do my test. And then, as I do a lot of testing, I almost never leave it out of power.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It only takes a minute before it starts up. So that's the current technology.
Yeah,
we are developing a new sensor that will be very rapid.
Okay.
And detect other gases.
Mm-hmm.
And provide more information about your health.
Yeah. Now, are you finished with the presentation part?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I just stop the share.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Very, very interesting. Very informative. And I think I'm understanding it a little bit better. And you did a great job in explaining it. If someone I have an example. If someone fasted for 18 hours and would have a breath acetone reading of about 4 parts per million, and blood ketones are 1.3. So how would you interpret such numbers?
Quite normal, I could say. It depends on the state of the person's liver,
mm-hmm.
Of course, and ability to actually metabolize blood ketones. If the person have insulin resistance, for example, high blood glucose, that will inhibit the use of blood ketones. So that's why maybe the blood ketones are high,
mm-hmm.
or depending on the activity level of the person, it also matters. I could say that the level of breath ketones depends highly on your technique.
Okay.
Also, but yeah. It doesn't really matter if it's 4 or if it's 10.
Yeah. I mean,
it's more interesting if it's below 10 or more than 20 or 30. I mean, you should be thinking of tens. Uh-huh. 4.3 and 5.1 is not much difference.
Okay.
Because technique. So really you should try, you should do 3 breaths into it to get the highest one.
Mm-hmm.
But what you want to see is a larger difference. And then 18 hours isn't very much. 18 hours is hardly no fasting at all.
Yeah.
It's just intermittent fasting.
It's just intermittent fasting, yeah.
Yes. If you want high ketones of fasting, really you have to eat your glycogen stores in the liver.
Mm-hmm.
That takes approximately 3 days.
Okay.
You need at least 3 days of just water fast to actually clean out your liver from glycogen and start burning your fat.
Mm-hmm.
I have a quite steady breath ketones the first 3 days before the glycogen is depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And to accelerate this, my and others testing have shown that if you do strength training, if you do slow lifting of weights, that actually gets into your muscles and burn them out. I mean, you should do reps until you fail.
Mm-hmm.
So you really burn the sugar in your muscles, and you do it in the large muscle groups, doing squats or things like that. Then you get faster into this high level of ketones.
Mm-hmm.
So fasting and the exercise is a way to increase your ketones.
Mm-hmm.
But that's individual how your body is. I mean, is it a huge person? Is it a lean person? Is it an old person? Is it a young person?
Yeah.
What diet do they had and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. It all depends.
Okay. But just for if I'm looking for a number to thrive for, to say, okay, if I'm around, also if I'm in the green area,
yeah,
it's okay. I'm using some fat, or there is fat burning happening. Is that right? Or?
Yes, that is right. I mean, a value of 1 that is probably what anybody can produce.
Yeah.
But if you're up in 4 to 30, which is considered to be nutritional ketosis, you are definitely in ketosis.
Okay.
But what is interesting is, or what is important is, that even if you are in ketosis, it does not guarantee anybody to lose weight.
Yeah.
I've been having a steady weight for 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And still in ketosis.
Yeah.
I mean, I might lose 1 kilo if I do 1 week of just water. But that's just what my 1.2 kilos it is. I've done that a lot of times. So I know how to lose weight. But if I eat what I should eat, I don't lose anything.
Yeah.
It's just what my body thinks that this is good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But all my blood markers, everything else is great.
Yeah. There are more important markers to look at and just wait. Yeah, of course
it is.
Your blood markers, your lipids, your C-reactive protein and stuff. There's much more to look at.
Yeah. A1C, for example, is one.
Yeah, an A1C.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much. for your time and for the wonderful presentation. I think we got a lot of stuff covered, and hopefully we could get some light in the darkness for because it's definitely a question I get a lot about the ketonics, and I really wanted to inform the people, and I think it's a great device you invented, and since blood is very, very expensive on the other hand, and maybe it's not even that of an marker you should really look at, or you should track. So I think it's a great device, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Falls du mehr über diese Folge wissen willst, dann schau in die Shownotes auf evolutionradioshow.de. Und wenn du uns noch nicht abonniert hast, dann such in iTunes oder deiner Lieblings-Podcast-App einfach nach Evolution Radio Show und klicke auf Abonnieren.